This is a continuation of side one with interviewing Ms. Ruth Lawless. Okay, we were talking about the gallery that was finished just in time before the war started, so you could have ladies, you said that from the cadets stay
cadet
there.
Wives.
The cadet wives would stay there. Really, the Landmark Inn then had only four owners then?
Yes, right, I think you could say that. Mono, Van, Curran,
and Lawless. And now the Parks and Wildlife.
And now it's Parks and Wildlife.
Mm-hmm.
And they committed themselves to restore it. And I think I'm going to win out, maybe a little struggle. The bathhouse, they want to use as make into two rooms.
Uh-huh.
And I think they should leave the poor little bathhouse as it is downstairs, maybe.
Uh-huh.
And just put, I have an old tin bathtub that could go in there. You know, make it
kind of look original,
right?
Uh-huh. That would be
practical. And then we added that stairway to go upstairs to the bathhouse. And I fixed that up as an apartment. And I had very concerned people stay there. And when the hemisphere was on, I even used it for overnight guests.
Yes, then.
That was, you know, kind of a big deal. And at present, the plans called for the room that you on the corner, which was the post office, that's supposed to be the lobby. And the next room that I use as an office will be an office. And the third room will be a room for people to stay. I guess.
Oh, I see.
And then upstairs, there are five rooms. And every room doesn't have a private bath. One and two have to share the bath.
Uh-huh.
And when people come and sort of, you know, turn their noses up, I always say, well, it's continental. And then they don't
say anything then. Uh-huh.
And three was the super duper. It had carpet on the floor and a private bath. And the bathroom was big enough for another room, really.
Oh.
And then four and five shared the bath. And I always maneuvered that if it was a lady, well, the in four, then I put a lady in five.
Oh, I see.
And if I didn't like their look, I learned to say, so truthfully, I'm sorry that I don't have any room.
It's out.
And then downstairs, the first room downstairs, I made into a room for overnight guests. And then the next room was the office.
Oh.
And so then the long L I divided, and I had what I call the bridal suite, because I had the walnut furniture, Victorian, and I used it for special people, and then it had a private bath. Then I had two more rooms, and I fixed those into little, like an apartment.
Oh. So you had then quite a few rooms to rent out. And they're going to keep it more or less the same then?
Yes, except that long L they're supposed to have on display things that show how the town develops.
We need something like that, really. That would be nice.
The program.
Uh-huh.
Now, as to the mill, I don't think, in my opinion, I don't think they'll ever really restore it, just grind.
Just to show maybe or something like that. And the,
and they'll keep the tunnel up
and
landscape the ground.
And then they will be renting it out for people,
for regular rooms for overnight.
And then they'll have somebody there in charge.
In the house next door.
Oh,
that little house.
Yes, uh-huh.
That will be the man in charge of the inn, the manager, and he'll live there.
That's gonna be so nice.
And then he'll take.
Well, you know, so many people. It's in the Texas Highways book.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And everybody wants to go by and see, and then they're just so disappointed that they can't even stay there.
Yes.
You know, it's really an attraction for the town.
It is.
Really
is. Uh-huh.
Okay, I think now we will go on to your brother and how he started the electric system and the public water works. I want to touch on that a little bit, yes. Now, your brother J.T. was responsible for giving Castroville its first electricity, and in a few years later, its first public water works. Now, what year did he first do this for this electricity to Castroville?
We moved here in 27. Mm-hmm. So he put in a little Fairbanks Moss gasoline engine, and the concrete foundation is still down at the mill. And that furnished the first electricity. It wasn't very much.
Uh-huh.
And he would have it on only at night, except on Tuesday when the ladies were supposed to iron.
Oh, and then he would put it on for Tuesday.
Yes, and everybody knew you could iron on Tuesday.
Well, maybe that's what that saying is, you wash on Monday and you iron on Tuesday.
And he had the water we got for our private use first,
mm-hmm.
because Mr. Curran had a line running from the where the Oblates had their seminary, where the Oblate Seminary. And they had that deep well, which is still used. And Mr. Curran had a line, water line, built to furnish water to his this building that he rented the rooms upstairs. So
that was there already then when you first moved.
So then different people would say, well, can't we tie in, you know, to that
They
line?
Wanted their, otherwise every house had their own
little well.
And they were using gas things for electricity,
yes.
you mean, and
mm-hmm.
stuff like that.
I think there were two or three people that had Delco, which Congress had electricity.
Mm-hmm.
And just a few.
Very few.
And then we finally got, we got up to 142 electric light stations.
Well, now what made him want to do this at first?
Well, he said this town is going to grow, and everybody said, J.T., you are so foolish. That place, those dumb people, they're not going to do anything. And he said, oh yes, it's going to develop.
Uh-huh.
And there were 600
at the time
when we moved. Yeah. And of course, it wasn't incorporated.
Yeah.
And I guess the war is what
really boosted it.
Yes, because they came in, and I know the house that where Mr. McAnally lives now, that belongs to the young man.
Uh-huh.
And this girl from New York and her husband said, could we rent that house? We'll pay $75. And of course, that was unheard of.
Heard of. Uh-huh.
They nearly fainted. And they rented to it. And the little house where Mrs. Gillette lives, I bought for $600 and charged 7.5 months rent. And I couldn't collect the rent. The man just ignored me.
Oh, no.
So I told my mother, well, I shouldn't own real estate because I know
you're just not mean enough to
collect.
So, yeah.
So I said, I'll just sell it. And I advertised it and I sold it.
Was that Mrs. Gillette that bought it then?
No, she could have bought it, but I hadn't signed some paper.
Uh-huh.
And my husband thought, oh, you don't want to buy that. Look at that.
Oh.
Her name's not on that.
Uh-huh.
And she could have
gotten it at a good.
She waited then.
Uh-huh.
And then the people that bought it moved away, got hold of it to pay $4,000.
Oh.
$600 to $4,000.
That's how it ran.
And I used to read the library because it didn't pay to hire
somebody to read them. And you actually had meters?
We had good meters.
Uh-huh. And you had poles with wires on them,
uh-huh.
and just like they. And who helped set up all this wiring and everything?
Well, I think the public service
set it up.
Uh-huh. And then when we sold out, when the city incorporated, they bought the waterworks. And part of the payment was the old mill. So we got back the property. See, when we had sold it to the city.
Oh, I see.
And when the city incorporated, why we got it back.
Back again.
Because they gave it back to,
back to you.
Which was ideal.
Yeah.
Things always seem to
work out. And you just don't know why they're going the way they are, and then all of a sudden it all fits into place.
Right.
Yeah. Well, how much was electricity then?
The water was $1.50 a month.
Straight across the board,
$1.50. And that was, I think, 3,000 gallons.
Uh-huh.
And the electricity, we had a commercial rate and a residence rate.
Oh.
And it was very, very
reasonable.
Reasonable, yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And they paid that by the month?
The month.
And did you send out bills?
And Bernard DeSimon used to collect the bills for us at the drugstore. Because it brought the people to the drugstore.
Sure.
You know?
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. And he would do that then for free to get them over there.
Uh-huh.
So
that went on for a long time.
And he collected the water and the... Well, and how many customers did you end up with then with his electricity?
Well, I've had 140 some odd
people.
Oh, you couldn't. You begged them to take it. And they said, well, we don't really need it. I know there was a Mrs. Shaw that lives, right across from Chester Webb.
Uh-huh.
He bought it. And it did belong to a Miss Shaw. And I begged her. She said, no, I don't need electricity. I get up in the morning when the sun is up. I go to bed when it's dark.
Uh-huh.
I don't need
electricity.
And then I would read the meters. And I thought, I think someone's talking. I thought, what does she know? So this one old lady is always started watching. And somebody had told me that her daughter-in-law was coming over to her house. Because she didn't have electricity, and she was doing all the ironing there. So when I knew that, and I went in, I looked up at the meter, and I said, oh, somebody's been ironing.
Yeah.
And from then on, she never thought I didn't know
what was going on.
And then there was a sweet old lady, a Mrs. Bowes, who lived where Mrs. Lafferty lived.
Oh, uh-huh.
And my brother went there one day, and she said, Mr. Lawler, I wish you'd get after these people. I have no life. They use it all up before it gets to me. And her globe had burned out.
Well, that was probably a new thing. They just probably didn't know really what to...
And Mr. Shearhart, he's no longer living. I guess he's the grandfather of Sammy and all this.
Uh-huh.
He had the house wired, but don't turn it on yet.
Uh-huh. He's ready if he needs
it. So one night he was sick, and he wanted his medicine. And his wife said, well, I can't read it. Well, he says, go turn on the light, and I'll tell Mr. Law in the morning.
To charge.
It happened to see.
And they were just kind of, well, everybody should have been really very happy about it. I can't imagine not having electricity.
Yes.
You know, even at a camp, that irritates me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you have to light a lantern or something to even see. I had interviewed Mrs. Lafferty I guess maybe a month or so ago. And she was saying about the first water here when somebody would, well, how did she tell me? When at Moy they would take a bath or something, you wouldn't get water then to her house. She said, you knew you better hurry to get your water before they started taking baths at Moy with the water works. Now, was that with JT?
Yes.
That was the...
Well, I think that's really good. Pretty good water. By the way, just yesterday I found two pictures that showed a whole group of them standing around the well. And I'll see if I can get it in logs. It would be good, wouldn't it?
Yes, that would be really good, because we're going to have a little file here with pictures.
Picture?
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
We had just went to Texana, and they said to save that kind of thing. Have a special vertical file for pictures. And you have an index card.
Yes.
You know, and categorize them like that. So that would be wonderful to have a copy of.
Yes, it's huge. I found I have so much, so many books, so much.
You just don't know what to do with all. Just where to go with it.
Right.
Well, back to this water. Then the water and electricity would be on the same bill then.
Yes. Uh huh.
That would all go together then.
Right. And the well was built, was owned originally by the Oblates.
Oh.
And Archbishop, well, he was then Archbishop Drossos. Mm-hmm. So we bought the well, and where the present city warehouse is, that mm-hmm. belonged to us.
Oh. And that well was?
And in fact, where the house where Father, they used for a rectory, I think they rented that to a man from
yes, yes. Remember
it. He's never come to the library.
He really would be. Mm-hmm. You'd be surprised at what we do have.
Yes,
on that type
so.
Of stuff even. Uh-huh. That would be interesting. Well, let's see what else we want to ask about the water. We already discussed the billing. Well, he typed up these bills or whatever.
I did.
You fixed up the bills. You read the meters. Well, what did JT do?
Well, he used to read the meters. You
oh,
know?
He read.
And then he'd bring the book in, and uh-huh. I'd start making out the bills.
Uh-huh.
I'd say, JT, you don't have anything down here. Oh, shoot. Well, you know, we all got to talk it.
And he's missed it.
And
huh?
So I finally decided, well, it's much simpler if I just did it. Because then
I would know where.
Yes.
And what did you just, did you drive around to the different?
Yes. Uh-huh. Oh, I'd park the car and then walk a block and then uh-huh. get back in the car and go another block.
And you weren't teaching when you were doing all of this?
No. No, that was,
that was in between. Kept you busy, huh?
Yes.
Well, then when did the city then take over these utilities?
They bought it in, let's see, in the 40s.
In the 40s? Mm-hmm. Before you started renting out at the Landmark Inn?
Well, just about.
About the same. And was the post office still over there then?
Oh, no. The post office. You know, the house next to Mr. Kelly. That little stone building.
Which Kelly?
Frank Kelly.
Oh, uh-huh.
And that was the post office. And
when is that like a two-story type
yes,
thing?
Yes, now they're 62. And I still have, I think, the letter. Miss Tina is going to get married. And she wrote and asked me, would I like to be the postmistress? Because if I did,
she would certainly let you have
yes.
it, huh?
Oh, and in 2028.
Oh, that was right away after.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And then this post office hasn't been there so long. In 61, because that's the year I went to Europe. In 61, I knew my brother was getting his 80, and I thought, well, now, if he wants to see Ireland, I should take him now.
Right.
So I quit teaching so I could take a year to get ready. Uh-huh. No tour. I went on my own with him. Picked my where I'd go,
uh-huh.
picked my hotel. I bought stamps international that you can use them to reply and would ask what are your rates
and all this kind of stuff and studied it all out
and
planned
a little bit and of course then you could still go by ship
and you went by ship
lovely.
And this is where your dad was from, huh?
Yes,
was Ireland.
And we went to Kilkenny and we think we saw the house where he was born.
Oh, did he have any relatives at all over there?
Yes,
yet?
We went on, which is on High Street. Well, we have Main Street in Ireland. They call it High Street.
Everything was
High Street.
Well, did he maybe have an accent of some kind, too?
No.
He didn't have any kind of Irish.
All.
You know how the Irish usually
yes.
have a
no,
an accent.
He, you know, came to
when he was very young.
Just a baby. And then, so he, I guess, had more of a southern accent
than anything.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know. You have a kind of a different way of talking.
Well, everybody, I don't know what it is, because if I answer the phone, the people would say, well, you're not from here.
They can tell instantly, huh? And just don't know what kind of, where you picked
it's
up.
From New Orleans. I think I never lost.
That. Well, and you see, you grew up there, so that's
college
and school mm-hmm. and everything.
By the way, the other day they had well, the banquet and some lectures. And then, of course, they all want to raise money.
Uh-huh.
And this girl, who was over here to promote funds, firmly, and I hadn't met her that night at the banquet. And I said, oh, it's just too bad you didn't come down to sit past the hill. And I don't know what else I said. But the next afternoon, this is my looking young, said, I'm looking for a new drawer. I said, well, you found her. Well, you know, you made it sound so inviting that I didn't have anything to do this afternoon until 4 o'clock. So I just came down.
Well, can you beat that?
And I think that was, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and you're probably anxious for them to finish over there.
Oh, yes. It would be so nice.
Let's get that
done. Oh, so slow.
Yeah. Every time with a girl, and yes. I think it all flows down.
The library.
Mm-hmm. Be careful. Oh, well, let's say I think we've just about finished.
Covered.
We've just about covered everything here. Do you have anything that you want to add? Anything you can think of? Just about dried your throat all up.
You know what? I wonder when you make a tape, how many pages would that be in a
written.
Yes. Will do you have any idea of how these
things go? Well, see, we do, transcribe these on paper, you know, for some people. In San Antonio, see, they all get a copy.
Oh.
So they want the index and your transcription.
Uh-huh.
So when we get through, see, right now we're so short of help to do that kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know.
But I was just wondering
how many,
you know, words. Say like a page like this.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
maybe
I'd say
someday you could find out.
Yeah, I'll check about that.
So many people have said, "Oh, you ought to write what you did. You know, it would make a good story."
Uh huh.
Well, I talk better than I write.
Well, you know what I would do if I were you? I would use the paper folder on your own. You could even use ours if you don't have one. And just start talking free with yourself, alone or whatever.
Yes.
And then you can always play it back and type it down.
Uh-huh.
That's what these big executives do, you know. They sit there and they write all these letters down, talk, oh, this letter goes to so-and-so, and then they hand the work to the secretary, and then she
does it.
And she does it. And it seems like you can be freer than trying to figure out what word to type Oh, I think that would be fantastic if you would do that.
I remember.
Right. You know, and it's just more of you.
Yes.
You know. And then you could always, that would be a good idea. I think you should do that. I'll send the paper photo home with you.
Well, I'll investigate that.
Okay.
I had
to see about that.
Somebody came and she was going to do it, but then trying to, do that.
You have to have that. Right. Mm-hmm. You have to have that for sure. Well, I think we'll close then, Ms. Ruth, and I thank you very much.
Well,
the library, thank you, and I have enjoyed it too.